Hi, people and CFRC listeners and fans, also Dance School Major fans, and welcome to the podcast interview between me, the host Nathan, and also two of our lovely guests, Charlie and Yulia. Like, they're the representative behalf of the Dance School Major team and willing to like sit down with us to do a little bit like chat about the show. And let's get started. So first thing first, a little bit of ice breaking game and super salad.
Really depends on the super salad, but I mainly, if I have to choose
from
the order, I go for the soup.
Ooh, I'm a salad person. A Greek salad particularly, big fan, personally.
Yeah, I do agree. I really like Greek salad.
But tomato soup might sway me.
Exactly, like a nice chicken noodle. I'm sorry, Greek salad. I'm
not convinced by the chicken noodle, but to each their own.
I'm okay.
Yeah, about me, I'd go with neither soup or salad. I'd go with meat. Maybe just like meat in a soup plus some salad. That would be perfect.
Like
yeah.
No appetizer.
I'd go with meat directly. Okay, so first thing first, tell us more about yourself and your programs of study.
Yeah, I'm Yulia. Hello again. I'm in my fourth year in my concurrent education program. So the whole long title of it is that I'm a drama major with a biology minor. And when I go to my bachelor's of education after my undergrad, I will be able to teach both of those subjects.
That's a pretty epic like split, being drama science teacher.
Oh yeah, I love
that. That's cool. I'm Charlie, and I am currently in my fifth year as a drama major, but I completed 4 years as a musical theater major first in a split program with St. Lawrence College in Queens. This is my first year in the drama program, but also my last year in the drama program, which is sad.
We're so happy you're here.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
Yeah, so I guess I'm part of the interviewee as well, like, because I'm also working as the head of marketing for the major. So my name is Nathan, and pronounces he, him, and I study media and performance production like at Queen's University. Like, I'm a third year student, and this is my first time at dance school major, and it's also my first year at the dance school. But like, yeah, I'm super excited. So speaking of love and information, like the winter major, you are cooking and I'm also cooking as well. Like, is there like, what are your like specific like roles related to the major production? Like, is there anything you want to talk about your role?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm the assistant director. So I work closely with the faculty member, Michael, who directs the show, and help out with putting the scenes or taking care of any other like smaller work to like logistics and things. But also directing the student actors and having a good time with that.
And I'm one of the student actors. I play a character named Z, who is a very fun, strange robot, AI, crazy, online, fake, not real person character.
That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, like, I'm the head of marketing, like, I worked on social, and I'm also doing a takeover for the day. Like, I'm the evil dance school major that Yulia created. And to be honest, this is gonna be the most like interesting interview like I've ever seen, because we have like both representative, like from the directing team, from like design team, and like the people from like actor team, like the cast team, and also like me from like production team. So like we're basically like we're three like sitting together, like we basically covered the whole show. Yeah. So just add like a question, like based on my curiosity, Yulia, like, so I'm aware that like Dance School Major has like a cube icon, like for this year's like posters, but like I saw there's like a evil Dance School Major on the social, like yesterday when you're doing the takeover, like how did you cook that up? Like, how did you get that idea?
Well, it was a very fun story. Shout out to the technical team, Ishan and Skylar. While we were doing some lighting levels and some small things, we were just talking about the show and like how we describe it, love and information. And in the banter, we were talking about like, oh, the opposite would be like hate and ignorance. And from that became the like sort of joke of like, oh, this person is very love but more ignorant, and this person is more hate but information. And so like how you align yourself on that sort of alignment chart of love, information, hate, or ignorance on those two axes.
We should put a plot in the green room and have everyone.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Figure out where you are on that alignment chart. I think it's really funny. And so after we kind of started that joke, I was like, this would be really funny on the Instagram takeover. You guys remember those memes that was like evil blank, and they'd show like a negative space image of like whatever that was, and they'd put like the opposite of like what that person would say. So, like evil One Direction would be like, that's what makes you ugly instead of that's what makes you beautiful. Like, so they're really silly memes that I remember. And so going back to that, I was like, this would be really funny to put on the Instagram. I'm glad I did.
Okay, so right now this is the evil dance group major speaking. So I'm the hate and ignorance, and thank you, Yulia, for creating me, which I'm also taking over the Instagram stories. And there's only one thing I want to flag, this: go buy tickets for Love and Information at loveandinfo.com or Queen's Isabel website. Otherwise, you will only receive hate and ignorance. I'm just kidding. Don't take that seriously. Okay, so in terms of this performance and production, what is the aspect, or like what is the element that attracted you the most?
Absolutely the script, because it was initially written in 2012 about the internet by Carol Churchill. And this is a very unique play because it gives you so much like agency to do what you want with it. How the script works is like there's 50 some scenes. Each scene has a title and then just dialogue. There's no like setup to it. There's no characters actually listed in the play, and within each act, the scenes can be in any order you want. So Carol Churchill really just hands you a bunch of text and tells you do what you will with it. And I think that was the most exciting part for me, and the most special part of this play, is because it's just a bunch of bite-sized, sometimes 5 seconds to like 2 minute long scenes back to back to back to back, that seemingly have nothing to do with each other than that they're either about love and or information. I think is really exciting, and it opens up a lot of room for artistic liberty in the design, in who is cast, in how the show looks and is perceived by an audience.
I was drawn to it by the chaos. I think I said that in my audition. I love how it's rearranged and every day it's a different show, but like there's a level of stability to it, but I think it's really fun to deal with something new every night.
100%. So like, as for me, like personally, I really love the concept, and also like in terms of the set design, I really like it. We're gonna talk about like set design later, but like the one thing that fascinates me the most is I feel like the director created like a census, or like kind of like a internet like central information center as a part of the set, and all of the character there seems like internet like data, like zero and ones, they're all seem like data flows. I took a sneak peek of the blocking. That is absolutely amazing and so innovative. Like, speaking of like, do you like, Yulia, like speaking of the directorial like vision, what can you tell us about like the performance in from like a director level? Like, how do you like and Michael oversee it?
Absolutely. I want to shout out Sophie for all the choreography that occurs in the movements, because that's really a beautiful part of the show. And I think a lot of the vision for it comes from the idea of like the theater as social media, or social media reflecting into the theater. Because the play was initially about the internet in 2012, it still kind of has that algorithmic, I'm scrolling through a bunch of bite-sized TikToks feel to it. And so we really embrace that idea of like the scenes themselves need to seem as realistic as possible, like the acting and what the characters are doing, what they're talking about. The actors have done a really good job of staying in like a hyper realism for when they're in their scene, but then that is sort of like a juxtaposition on like the next scene happening like 2 seconds later, and it's about something completely different and a completely different tone. And so that idea feels like you're scrolling through Instagram, TikTok, Vine, if you guys remember Vine, YouTube Shorts, those sorts of things, where it's like a little piece of information that's like 5 seconds to 2 minutes long. And what that does to an audience, I think, is very interesting, because it feels like social media, but now it's live in theater in front of you. And mixed into that is a lot of elements I think Charlie can talk about with transitioning between the different acts and a lot of text that we were able to actually include ourselves that Giselle wrote to kind of bring about the theme of the internet. So kind of feels like you're scrolling through Instagram, but you're actually sitting in your seat at the theater.
Yeah. I feel like the show does a really good job of both embracing the, like, high-tech modernity, like, cool things, and also being critical about the consumption of the internet and how that has affected our society both positively and negatively in, like, a good balance.
Yeah, we don't give you an answer, and I think that's part of the vision of, like, we are in this internet kind of changing time that we either can keep up with or it'll leave us behind. And another part of that is in the design elements, we have the idea that each act out of the 7 acts is like sort of going through the different eras of the internet, starting in the 90s and now to like 2024, 2025. And so that on top of it kind of gives that sense of like, oh, this is, I've been in these scenarios before, like each of the tiny scenes, but then some of them are completely odd and out of the way. And you're like, I've never imagined this happening to anyone before. So that plus the technology, plus the beautiful choreography as well, it really feels the, like the technology, the internet, but then this is live theater. And I'm very excited to see how audiences react to that.
100%. And also question for Charlie. So I heard that, like somebody leaked that to me, said you would be playing a super, super important cast and a role like in the team. Like, so what is your biggest challenge, or what exactly the role like you're like playing? Like, could you like tell us a bit more about her?
Yeah, Z, I would say, is a bit of a guiding figure for the audience to bring them through the different decades and the trends. Z likes to keep up on the trends in maybe not always the kindest way to the audience, but they are kind of, Z is the internet personified, I would say, and is a helpful figure in progressing the plot. They show up a lot in transitions to give the audience advice and aid.
Right. It feels interesting. Like, and I also heard that like you will also be shadowing like an AI. Is that true? Like, I never heard of this. Like, I never like seen like anything like this in live theater.
Sorry.
Norris.
Yes, my character is vaguely inspired by Max Headroom, who is a robot man pop culture figure from the 80s into the like later 2000s. I think his last appearance was 1985-2015, which is a 30-year run of appearances. And he's definitely critical, but also very fun.
Interesting. And right now I'm so curious about this production. Like, could you tell us about more of the various like other roles like played on stage and backstage, and how to like make this like major production like work? Like, how many team members do we have? Like, how many cast do we have? Like, what does everybody like work in a team?
Oh, there's so many people. I will absolutely say that. I think the show itself, we were like, hey, we want an ensemble, a big ensemble. So there's 26 actors, each labeled after a letter in the alphabet, and with that they have 4 to 5 scenes that they play, because we didn't want the two actors to be in the same two like partnerships together. So out of the 50 some scenes, each actor has 4 or 5, and with that, that is their kind of like job to inhabit 4 to 5 different characters. And then outside of that, there's a huge technical team that have been working to make all the lighting possible, because it's very exciting. There might be a bit of audience expectation related to the lighting that has been the hard work of Gerald and Skylar and Sean. And there's also a really cool sound that brings together sort of like the setting for each of those tiny bite-sized scenes. There's also music that was composed by a student, Rin, and that is part of like choreographed transitions. And there's set design by a student and faculty member, Naomi and Brian. And so many aspects of it are either linked to like a course credit. Some students are doing this for credit. Some students are doing it because they love theater. And outside of just the rehearsal team and the stage manager, Daniil, and all the four ASMs, there's so much technical stuff backing it because you need at least four people, at least, I think, six operators for lights. Not every night, but there's six operators to switch through. There's sound operators, there's paint crew, there's the props team who's putting together all these props for these 50 plus scenes. And because we've been able to have such a big script, a big show that allows for a big ensemble, we've been able to really take in all these technical ideas that students have come in with, sort of like fantastical things of like, oh, what if we did this audience participation? What if the stage looked like this? And we're actually able to make it possible because of there's so many students that are part of this. Don't know the exact number. I wouldn't be surprised if it was about 100 or so, because there's so many students doing everything. And it's so exciting. So glad that they are.
Oh my God. So like it seems like a large team, and it seems like a very innovative like performance. Like at least I never see anything like that before. Like, how long have you guys like been working this like together?
Oh, some time. I do know that the first production meetings were happening in September, and that was a lot for the designers to talk about their initial ideas, jot things down on paper, and put together sort of like sketches and just designs for what's gonna happen on stage. But then the auditions, I believe, start in December.
Yeah, I think we were cast in December or late November.
Yes, around that time. And then rehearsals were in January. So the actual space in the stage has been worked on in January at least like four nights every week. And that on top of all the technical meetings that are happening with the production team as well, with like paint crew coming to paint calls or lighting hangs happening or sound testing, props crew making their props and finding their props, costume crew sewing so many costumes. Because there's 50 some scenes, there's about 100 and some characters that the 26 actors need to play, each one with a new costume. So there's been a lot of hard work there. And thankfully, because we started in September, we could slowly get there. But even just the rehearsal process starting in January, like 2 months and a bit is pretty tight, but it's been very exciting.
Right, like, okay, speaking of costumes, I know like we're not like, either one of us are like in the costume team, but like I just wonder, I just have a question for Charlie. Like, seems like the character you're playing, like Z, is one of the most important characters. Like, how many costumes do you have?
I had 7 costumes, which they made in about the span of a week. They made all 7 costumes. And my first costume is a pretty intensive, like custom foam jacket that Mariana and Jonas and the entire costume team made, and it was crazy. They had a crazy fast turnaround on those costumes. They're making easily over 100 costumes. I think 100 and near 150 costumes for this show, and they're crazy. They're doing so well. They look great.
Okay, just stepping in and say shout out to Kali and Jonas. They're doing such an amazing job on costume. Can't wait to see like those fancy costumes in the costume parade and also the on stage, definitely. But like, I also wonder, like, it seems like everybody's taking like so much time and also like putting so much effort in this. So I just wonder, like, does everybody earn like course credit for their participation, and how does it all work related to not only your artistic portfolios, but also like the degree programs you guys are pursuing?
I am not currently earning a credit for this show, but I have on 3 past dance school majors, so I've run out of my performance credit options. But you can get credit for working on crews, for being a head of department, or for being higher level management. Those are separate courses. And then also for the design positions and for performing. So there's a bunch of options. There are a bunch of students doing credit, but there's also a bunch of students just doing it because they like it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've done, as kind of like you, Charlie, I did a few dance school majors for credit already. But this role I took on just for the fun and the experience, because I really like working with theater, and I think the university allows for really big scale projects for students to get their hands in. That's pretty accessible for students to apply for, which I really appreciate. So yeah, there are definitely course credits out there, and I know a lot of students, especially in production teams, are taking on their roles for credit, but also because of that, they're able to learn during class time as well, skills that they can apply to while they're working, quote unquote, outside of class time.
Yeah, like, and also, like, speaking of that, like, I'm aware that, like, there's, like, a lot of the first year students, they're, like, almost, like, for their, like, major night and also for their, like, program selection. Is there anything that you want to, like, say, like, Yulia, to, like, those, like, fellow, like, first year students, like, about the our drama program?
Oh, it's so much fun. And it really prepares you for the skills that you need for the outside world while also providing you the liberal arts knowledge. I think something that we gain at Queens more than a practical college degree program is the ability to write and understand the theories of theater and where they come from, because that's an important skill, especially for grants in theater now in Canada. But because of the practical courses that are offered and a lot of the classes that do deal with, like, actually physically teaching you how to use the technology for theater, that has become a very, I want to say, well-rounded course. Because of that, not only you get the academic stuff, but you also get some of the practical. I feel like that's really nice in this degree.
100%. And, okay, I have a quick question. I wonder, like, if Love and Information have, like, any intermission.
Great question. I know we'll find out once we know the exact precise timing of the show run, because we've had a few stumble throughs, and so to practice the entire show run in its entirety. But because we're still waiting on a few of the technical elements, we still don't know the exact runtime. But we do know that if the runtime does end up being 2 hours or more, there will be an intermission, because that is obviously to be fair and accessible to an audience. But if it's under those 2 hours, shorter than 2 hours, there will likely not be one.
Okay. Okay, seems exciting, but, like, okay. But we do have an intermission. So, like, speaking of our BG music, like, so each of our three, we chose, like, three songs in terms of the BG music for this podcast. So, Yulia's turn, like, could you tell us a bit more about, like, the song, like, of your choice? Like, how, like, why did you, like, feel attracted to the song, like, that you selected? Like, just the fact that you chose Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yeah.
And also, like, NSYNC Digital Get Down? And also, like, I believe Peter Mac Poland Digital Silence, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like each of these songs have a very different vibe, but I feel like they still kind of relate to our show in a way. Video Killed the Radio Star was actually, like, the first, like, MTV video music video, which is crazy to think about because it is about video, quote unquote, killing a radio star. But it speaks about technology evolving faster than us humans and the jobs we have and how video took over so much of radio. I think it's very interesting talking about this on a podcast at CFRC, right? Because so much of technology developed, and then what does it leave behind? What do we lose because of that? And the song is just also very catchy and fun, but I think has a very deep message about technology evolving that still applies today. Maybe it's not video kill the radio star, but more internet killing cable TV.
Yeah, as we spoke, I'm just listening to the song, and also, like, you guys can listen to these songs as well. Like, they're absolutely amazing, so, like, go check it out. And also, definitely, like, Love and Information. So back to our topic. I wonder, like, how was this play selected among others, and just, like, in general, but, like, this is something I always wonder, like, how does, like, dance school, like, select their major production, let's play? Like, I'm so curious about it.
Yeah, very good question. I know there is usually a faculty meeting about it because the professors are the ones who decide and ultimately direct the dance school major. And usually they're decided based off of, like, the criteria of the budget, but also the professor's pitch of the show and whether or not it allows for a large ensemble, because we have the capability to have large ensembles with students and we want as many students to perform as possible and get involved. So usually that's factored in. But I know during this meeting, usually professors come with a pitch, and from there, the professors kind of discuss and hunt them what they choose. And my insight for Love and Information specifically is that Michael Wheeler was teaching a directing course. And in that directing course, we were using Love and Information as our sort of, like, play to apply the directing techniques we were learning in that course. And so I think it was just a chance that he was like, you know what, maybe I'll also offer it as like a dance school major. And it, I guess, won the conversation over that was had between the faculty members. So I do believe that because it was used during our directing class, that sort of had like an influence on him to sort of pitch it. But I don't know the full parameters. That's still a mystery that the faculty wants to keep.
Right. Like, I really love like the major choice like this year, like both The Other Shore, like as a fall major, and The Love Information for the winter major. But like, speaking of The Other Shore, like, I'm aware that like Charlie has worked like both production team roles, also the cast members for like the major production in the past years. Like, how was the major look like? How was the experience like at the last two majors?
Yeah, I've enjoyed all the majors I've worked on so far. I've done two as cast. I was in the cast of The Last Night at the Cabaret Solitaire and this one. And then I was on paint crew for Paradise Lost and head of paint for The Other Shore. So I feel like I've done a bit of tech and a bit of performing in both. And I think the majors are a great way to get a well-rounded insight on the inner workings of a production and seeing into those production meetings and getting great advice from professors and from our wonderful faculty. Brian and Mark were the greatest when I did paint. And I think it's really allowed me to explore areas of production that I hadn't done before, coming from a mostly performing and mostly strictly musical theater background. I did a lot of dance and singing, and I think I've got to branch out a bit in the majors.
Absolutely. And just back to Love and Information, like, I'm right now I'm so curious about the behind scene works, because I'm also working on behind the scenes, but like, since I'm working as like a marketing role, like, I'm not completely like get like any like kind of like insight or idea of like how is the rehearsals, like set build and sound and like lighting going. So I'm just gonna leave the question to you guys. Speaking of rehearsals, like, Charlie is one of our like main characters in the play. Like, how did the rehearsal went? Like, how was the rehearsal process? What was it like?
Yeah, this is a very ensemble based show. So we did a bunch of group rehearsals with Sophie and with the rest of the team going over these big movement transitions that tie the show together. And then the rest of the scenes are broken down into the couple actors that are in each. So a lot of this rehearsal process was actually not asynchronous, but we weren't, except for those transitions, we weren't together in big groups often. So it was always fun to come together and see what the other scenes have been working on and piece the show together. It's been really great the past couple weeks tying together some of the stumble throughs and running through the show, because the show is in a different order every night and there's that variable. It's interesting to watch everyone communicate how they're going to change their transitions and maybe talk to some people in the cast that they just haven't got to work with as much. And so it's been a really different rehearsal process, but also a very enjoyable one.
Absolutely. And speaking of like the tech elements, like, Yulia has been like working like during the tech week for Love Information, like just the fact that we're doing tech week, like, as for a current moment, and we open next week. So speaking of like the elements like in tech, how is the set building like going? Like, how was the set build like looks like to you? Like, how was it like? What was the process?
It's super exciting, that's for sure. Naomi and Brian worked really hard on trying to get the set in as soon as possible so we could work on it and act on it. So having the first sort of center platform available so that way we can practice working theater in the round, because the show is not like a proscenium where the actors on one side and the audience is on one. The audience are on all four sides. And Brian sort of described it as like the Thunderdome of the internet. So from there, we slowly started adding the carpentry crew started adding more and more of the set design as we went on, so that way we could practice working with the boxes that make up the stage and the different configurations we put that in to make the 50-some scenes happen and have like a chair or a table and those sorts of things. And also practicing entrances and exits, but also just physically being on the platform is really important. So the process for that was Brian and Naomi coming up with their designs. And from there, they were able to send them over to carpentry, see what could happen. And then we were able to actually put it in the theater space, and thankfully we have the privilege of being in the space we're going to perform in at the Isabel Bader Center. And so with that, we could just hop immediately onto that stage, and then we'd come back some days and after the weekend it had been painted, or the lighting strips was adding it into it, or the boxes would be here, and we're like, that's great, now we can work with more and more of the set as the carpentry crew and the set crew slowly were able to put it all together during their time. So it was really cool going from the set designs that we were being showed on SketchUp that Brian and Naomi had worked on, to seeing sort of like the rudimentary skeletons of everything that carpentry put together, and then finally the nice layers of paint and final details now during Tech Week that we're able to work with lights and with the weight of the props. So it's been a very nice thing going from the drafts to now, and having that available during the rehearsal process has been a real privilege, because the actors physically now know, this is the box that I'm going to be working with, these are the stairs I'm going to step on, so it's kind of ingrained in their body as well.
Does the box shine?
Oh yes, they light up.
Oh my god.
There's so many light up things.
Everything lights up.
But like, speaking of lights, I heard like lighting was going crazy as well. Like, how many like lighting cues like roughly do we have? Like, do we have like over 700? Or like, maybe more? I don't even know. Like,
I'll have to chat with Janelle, because Paper Q, I believe, was just finished. So with that, we have, Paper Q is when they write down all the cues that will be called during the show. And they definitely have an actual number that exists. I don't know what that number
Yesterday,
is.
Yesterday, Janelle was showing us her book in class, and she was saying that we have over 500 cues in this show.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So crazy.
Yeah, shout out to Gerald and Megan, our lighting design team, and also the TD team, like Isha and Skylar, as I believe they worked so hard in putting like 700 cues all together. Like I've been always doing like student theater, but like I've never seen a show with like 700 cues. That's wild. That's crazy. That's out of my imagination. And let's move on to sound. So like, I believe like Charlie has like a good understanding in terms of sound, because you guys are doing rehearsals like with tech, like with all of the sound elements. Like, how do you like this? Like, how do you feel about the design? Like, also like, I heard we do have an original composer for this show, right?
Yes, Rin has composed some very wonderful tracks that we use in the transitions. And Matt is our sound designer, and he has created a bunch of great tracks that set the mood of each scene, so you kind of get a hint of what you're transitioning into. And because the scenes vary so drastically in location and the circumstances of them, you get a bit of like a tone shift, so you can prepare yourself for the setting you're about to see. It's really immersive, I would say, in changing how the audience feels quickly.
Absolutely. And also, speaking of the interactivity, I feel like that is like one of the most important aspect and most original part like in this theater production, because like I have heard that like, wait, we have like a website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yes,
we have a website.
We have loveandinfo.com, which is like the actual like physical world wide web. Like,
oh my god, so you guys did a website, like original website designed by yourself, like for this project only. Oh my god, okay, that's wild. But I also heard like somebody like just like saying that like every purchase changes the show and the whole algorithm thing. Like, what is that about?
Absolutely. So Amy, a computer science student on our team, was tasked to create an algorithm that, given the responses to a quiz, will change the order of the show of the night the person is purchasing tickets for. So when you go to loveandinfo.com, there is a series of questions asked to you by the character Z that then links you to the ticket page, but also influences the show's order of scenes within each act. So act one, the scenes will be changed based off of what people answer to those questions. And act two, it'll be also slightly different, but they'll still be act 1 to 7. And in that is sort of that random element, because Carol Churchill said, hey, you can put the scenes in any order. And we said, okay, what if they're different every night then? There's of course some elements that have stayed the same for like some continuity ideas or some like really powerful scenes that we really want to pin and highlight. For the most part, it's random, which is really exciting. And as Charlie said, posts a really nice challenge for the actors There's also some really cool interactivity with the lights that Charlie's character actually instructs the audience to do. So maybe you want to speak on that a little bit, Charlie?
Yeah, as we go through the eras in the show, there's a level of interactivity that links to the popular social media and internet things of the time. And so some special audience members may be given ability to take over the internet and have their own creative liberties on the shows using some of the amazing lighting and interactivity set up by our tech team.
Oh my god, that sounds too exciting. But like, quick question. If I buy 100 tickets, if I buy 100 tickets, can I randomize the show more?
Great question. I don't know exactly how the algorithm works in the sense of like, is it the level of of tickets bought or is it the average of responses for that evening? I'd have to chat with Amy about it, but I think definitely purchasing 100 tickets is a lot of data. If anything, it would make the data, if you did the quiz once, but then bought 100 tickets, it'd be different than you doing the quiz 100 times. If that makes sense.
Right. Okay, so check out listeners. Like, if you have 100 information to us, we're gonna give you back 100 love back. Yeah. Okay. And also, like, speaking of marketing, I guess that is the questions, like, in terms of me. So, the marketing team, like, so me and Robert, the print designer, so we worked so hard on this because, like, this is, like, a very innovative and original show, and we have, like, come up with, like, a different marketing strategy in promoting it. So one of the biggest, like, elements that the director, Michael Wheeler, bring up on the table is the meme element, because this show is all about like internet and how we interact with the information like in our daily lives. As you can see, like Yulia just like brief, like just mentioned that like we have like a lot of like different like things, like they seem like irrelevant to each other, but like there does mean that like there does stands for the daily things and the daily information we encounter, the random information that we like perceive like at a daily basis. So like that is like a very creative move. So like in terms of like aligning this production with the theme of internet, so we have like we right now post like 3 memes per day, and we try to design like each meme as interesting as possible. And in post to that, like we also have like our like customized like love and information like throwbacks that like dives us into the history of the internet development all the way from like the Y2K era and all the way to like post like pandemic, like the current days. And Robert is like working so hard on this, like shout out to him. And like the marketing is still cooking. I'm gonna release more like behind the scene footage, behind the scene image, and also like a trailer, and also some like more exciting opportunities, including like including in-person ticket sale, including like downtown window installation opportunity. So like you guys will see the marketing cooked so hard in recent days. So speaking of that, like buy tickets at the loveandinfo.com and we'll definitely like give our love back to you. Okay, so back to Yulia and Charlie. So like tell us a bit more about your workspace. Like heard that like the play is like going on the East Bell Bader Center. Like this place is so far away like from me. Like I've never been there. Yeah, I've never been there. Like I always just like hanging around like at the Queen's campus. This place seems a little bit far. Can you tell us a bit more about this location and the theater?
Absolutely. I definitely recommend taking the bus over because the 502 goes right there and it's really nice and simple. That's my usual route because otherwise it is a bit of an icy uphill walk from campus. But is a beautiful building. I have the privilege of working there as an usher when I'm not working on the show, and it is so nice. The acoustics in the big theater space, the big windows that overlook Lake Ontario, and the natural light you get that's in those study spaces. There's a very lovely upstairs for film and media that has an amazing study spot, and it's all around just a very nice modern building. I believe it's only 10 to 15 years old. It's very recent, and I really like going there for our performances because it has such a nice black box theater space.
Yeah, it's true. It has a very universal space where I've seen so many shows there now that have entirely used the space in different ways, different ways of staging. And I think that it's just great to have such a open and malleable theater space for students to use. And honestly, as much as the walks I see, it's beautiful. You're by the water. You get a lovely on the summer. It's great. Right now, on a nicer day, today's not bad. I would walk to the Isabel today. It's nice to have that little walk by the water to kind of reset your day sometimes.
Okay. Speaking of that, like, sorry, I just lied. I actually go to Isabel like basically every day. So like, it's like, is it definitely like a beautiful building? Because I'm also like study like as a MAP student, so I basically have all of my class there. So like, beautiful views, like it's close to the Ontario Lake. So like, whenever you want to have a break from the course load, you can always like step out and just like take the beautiful view outside. And in terms of the night, we had like an amazing like usher team, and also had like a bar table available like at Isabel. So like, it's a great place definitely like to watch a show. And you're gonna definitely take a look if you haven't like checked out place yet. But in opposed to that, like, I heard that like the majority of the drama students are working like at the theological hall. Like, how does the theological hall look like? I feel like it's only like a 1 minute walk like from here to theological hall, right? Yeah, Charlie, can you tell us a bit more
you can
about
see
that?
It. Yeah. You can see it right from the door. I think door to door, we could race, and I think that it might be 15 seconds. It's very close. Theological Hall is the third oldest Queen's building, I think that's correct. And it's a lovely historic space. You have the Rotunda Theater and many classrooms, and a lot of the drama students do hang out there. I have all of my classes except for one are there. Six of my seven classes are in that building.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely spend a lot of time in Theo and in the green room. It's a home away from home.
Right, like, I mean, like, I always, like, been to SEAL, like, to have all of my class and also, like, some other, like, theater work, but, like, I really love the drama vibe here because, like, it is the oldest, like, one of the oldest buildings at Queen's, but, like, it has, like, a very, like, I would say just, like, a hands-on working vibe, and everybody's, like, so chilled out there because, like, we're all, like, as, like, drama workers, we just tend to be, like, open to, like, anything, and we just, like, love to, like, experiment, love to take challenge, love to hanging around, like, just like, and we just like do some like dirtiest like work together, including like some set building, like moving on like large set pieces, and together that makes like the theological hall like as one of the most unique building, and because of its like feature, and also like because of our like drama department, our fellow like cute drama students, so definitely like check it out. And if you're a first year students and you're willing to like choose a program, like you can consider drama if you love arts and culture in general, like it's definitely gonna be like Charlie said, like you definitely like second home like when you're at Queen's. Okay, so we have like a second intermission, it seems like. So Charlie's turn in introducing your song of choice. Just to flag that, I feel like yeah, Charlie, do you still remember like the song that you chose?
Yeah, I picked three songs. My songs were Girl on the Internet by Knox, which I feel as though it's a very like upbeat and fun song, but it also has that underlying message of the critical use of the internet that is throughout our play a bit. And then I picked Ballroom Blitz by Sweet, simply because I think Max Headroom would love this song. I have no other justification for it except for the fact that it's chaotic, like the fact that our scenes are reordered, and I think that Z would like it. And then I also picked the DJ Earworm mashup United State of Pop. I think it's the 2009 or 2007 version. 2009 version, which I feel as though it's an immediately recognizable, like, early mid-2000s mashup that I just feel reigns so true to some of the nostalgia of the internet and the eras that we're going through in Love and Information. So a bit of a mix-up of a bunch of different inspirations backed by either actual logic or just vibes.
Right, like, I believe, like, both of you have all chose some, like, internet, like, theme and loving for related song, like, which is super exciting. So if you're looking for a soundtrack while you're on the road of, like, watching Love and Information, definitely pick those where, like, which Yulia and Charlie chose. I've also introduced my song choice later on. But, like, before I dive into that, let's talk about our, like, big performance season coming up in March, like, which is, like, which is like Love and Information. Like, how many shows do we have? Or like, how many shows do we have in general?
I know we start with a preview on Wednesday, March 5th, which technically isn't included as a quote unquote real show because it's still like an invited final rehearsal, but preview usually is like full show everything. So I highly recommend coming because it is Pay What You Can and we would love to see people there. And the official opening night is March 6th. From there, we go until March 16th, with one dark day being the next Monday after. I can't remember the exact day, but that's about 10 shows that we have, which are so, so much fun, super exciting. Two matinees. The rest of them will be at 8 p.m. at the Isabel Vader, except for our Sunday at 2 p.m. and the Sunday after, also at 2 p.m. on March 16th. So I highly recommend coming if you have a free evening between March 5th and March 16th.
Awesome. Like, I just have one question in terms of the Pay What You Can, because I saw, like, they're not listed on the website. Like, so, like, is the Pay What You Can by doors donation only?
I believe so for now, but that also might change because the Isabel policy for, like, the ticketing is sometimes a little bit odd with a Pay What You Can system. So keep an eye out in case that does change, but for now I'd recommend getting to the doors early.
Oh my god, okay, otherwise it's gonna be like so many people over there. So like, okay, so speaking of Pay What You Can, tickets are first come first served. So like, as for the current moment, you can only grab like a couple of dollars, like, for donations. Like, just go to the Isabel Center like before 8 p.m. on the March 5th, and if you're lucky, like if you arrive early, you get a chance to be our very first audience in watching this like great performance. And speaking of like some special performance, including Pay What You Can, I heard that we also offer like accessible like performance, right? Like, well, what is our like accessibility like look like?
Absolutely, we have a relaxed performance night, which is I believe March 9th, and then a mask encouraged night, which I can't remember off the top of my head. I believe it is either a Tuesday or a Thursday night. So our relaxed performances usually include an accessibility package for all the shows. There is one about any trigger warnings that may come up, especially for loud noises or flashing lights. But the relaxed performance nights have relaxed levels, and it is a lot less stressed to feel like you need to be a quiet, quote-unquote, perfect Western audience member, if that is not your style. And for the mask encouraged show, we encourage those, especially who are immunocompromised, to come out to the theater because it is a very large gathering of people, and that can sometimes be inaccessible for people who are immunocompromised, hence why we offer that show as well. I'd highly recommend checking out the accessibility package because it'll have a lot more answers than I do have now.
Right. And shout out to Kaylee, our accessibility coordinator and the front of house and access crews. And they work also so hard on delivering like the accessible package and also like trying to like make the each show as much accessible as possible. So like, speaking of like front of house, so if you're like, if you feel like you have any questions like before like your attend, like, or when you're at the Isabel, you can always ask for like our like front of house crews for any like questions or inquiries, and we will try our best to make your like theater journey as like as safe like or like as like happy as possible. So in terms of the questions I'm cooking up next, like, I just wonder, like, how can people keep up with the news about the big events like at the dance school and dance school majors?
Definitely the Instagrams is what I'd recommend. The Dance School DSC, so Department Student Council, also post a lot of good stuff on their story. The dance school's major Instagram, and also the dance school, I believe, also has one. So there's like three different Instagrams out there to look out for. And I believe when you declare your major for drama, music, music theater, or math, any other programs that kind of sit under the dance school drama and music, there is email lists and a lot of newsletters sent out to courses, but also to just people who are on that mailing list. So I highly recommend keeping an eye out for those Instagram pages.
Right. I also do highly recommend to check our like Instagram just recently, because today is the Evo Dance School major taking over. So also we have like more taking over sections soon. Like you're gonna see like more like behind the scene like people taking over the Instagram, like post some like interesting stuff on online, and also like some of our like lovely actors and ASM team like taking over in the show run to get to know like a firsthand behind the scene footage, and also like funny videos coming up. So definitely stay tuned for that. And also like speaking of the dance school community in general, like this is something I want to ask for Charlie. So I heard that dance school has so many student theater clubs, like outside of like dance school majors. So we have like so many like people like working in a different like organizations and like clubs at the dance school. Like what do you know about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of different student groups that are producing theater in Queens and on campus. Queens Musical Theater does musicals. Queens Theater Troupe does more plays. The Dance Studio Series does student-written plays. Youth Theater does more shows in a variety of formats. Also, can you think of any I'm missing, Yulia?
I think there's like two rabbits, one hat.
Yeah, there's a couple independent theater companies also created by students of the dance school and Queens. So Two Rabbits, One Hat is doing a production of Macbeth at the library coming up. And Of the Sea Productions is another local production company that has a bunch of shows going on. So there's certainly lots of outlets that students are creating theater on Queens campus and in the Kingston community that are really exciting.
Oh my god, yeah, shout out to these organizations that Charlie mentioned. I believe we still have like more like coming up like as like individual like projects and performance. So like if you're interested in drama, like and you're like seeking experience like and also like the skills to work on a higher level production, definitely like start with the dance school like clubs. So they're like great learning opportunities, and you get to meet a lot of the cool people along the way. So like the dance school major is like a very united like community. Like we basically like help out each other like as a whole, and we also do like share our like some kind of like recruitment post and a ticket on sale post like within our like community between the organizations. So like if you dive into one of these organizations, you will definitely like find out more like stuff about the dance school like student club community. And like if you're like interested in applying in one of the roles, like in the majority of the scenarios, there's no previous experience like required. So like definitely like apply to those to get some like hands-on skills in terms of like theater production and stuff like that. And I believe that's gonna be like a wonderful journey to you if you choose to do so. So okay, so after that, we do have our third and the last intermission, so which gonna be me introducing my three songs of choice. So I flagged the Radiohead. Let me see, what song did I choose? I always forgot. Okay, so I'm not gonna talk about Radiohead right now, but like, I'm gonna talk about like Pancheco. There's a song called Death Metal. This is a song I like very much. Like one of my friends recommended to me like a couple years ago, and as I listened back, I feel like this is so like internet related, because like hear those like data fuzzling and like sounds like that. So I feel like that's like a very chill songs, and I definitely do recommend. And also like I would say the internet, the band, and they have like a great song called Hold On. I actually just found this like just like 1 hour ago. Like I was like browsing through my search song of choice, and this pops up, and I really love the vibe. And as you guys may probably hear it, we also played a couple like Radiohead songs. Like so one thing I chose is the Paranoid Android from the OK Internet album. Like this is like definitely like the album name like tells like what it means, right? So definitely like check out Radiohead. Like I believe they're famous, like you definitely heard about it. So really like them. And after I spoke with my part, and that brings us to the end of our like interview, is there anything else you guys wanted to like talk about or add on?
I think you should come check out Love and Information, and also for any prospective students or people in the Queen's community who are interested in theater or drama, there's lots of options, and we'd love to have you at the Dance School Majors and come get involved.
Absolutely. You don't need to be a drama major to get involved as well in theater. If you like doing theater, there's definitely student outlets for it. But I'd recommend being a drama student because it's also so much fun to learn while you do it.
Yay. And yeah, and thank you guys so much for like participating in this interview. And there's one last thing I wanted to flag as the closing statement or like a little like chat like for this interview. Love and Information by Dance School Major will be running at the East Bell Bader Center Studio Theater from March 5th to March 16th. And we're going to bring along one Pay What You Can event at March 5th and two accessible performance, the relaxed performance and also the mask encouraged performance along the way. Ticket can be purchased and they're selling fast and on the loveandinfo.com. And also the Isabel ticketing website. If you go to loveandinfo.com, you will be answering like a little bit like questionnaire stuff, and this will help us randomize the show. So like I said, if you buy 100 or 1,000 tickets, you can randomize the show more. So it's like this is like a small and chill lottery, right? Like, so definitely like stay tuned for that. And for any updates on the social and the promotional events, please check out the Dance School Major like Instagram account, and please don't forget to say hi and ask questions for the Evil Dance School Major. Yeah. Okay, thank you all for doing the interview with me.
Thanks, Nathan.
Okay.